Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Second Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and it says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments." Again, that could be translated in King James, it's translated imaginations. Casting down imaginations. "And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, the thing that the Lord highlighted to me this week was the portion of this scripture in 2 Corinthians where it says, verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing," casting down every high thing "that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Notice that there are things that can be exalted above the knowledge of God in our mind. Because we're talking about knowledge, we're talking again about our thought life. This whole thing in its context is dealing with the mind. Now, some people have gotten confused about that. You know, many years ago, there was a lot of Christians that believed, you know, you had to go up into high places to deal with demons. And so they began to rent 747s, whole congregations. They'd put on army fatigue and combat boots, and they'd go out there warring against the devil and trying to pull him down over their city. Yeah. And they would go up on, you know, on top of the skyscrapers in their city to pull down the strong man, the demons in that city. A lot of people actually got caught up in that. But when you take it in its context, what he's talking about here is our thought life. That's where the warfare is. The battleground is in the area of our minds. We can win those battles that we face in our mind. So there are things that can exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, and thus above God. And so anything that would exalt itself above God's word, above him, is an idol. And so there are idols that try to get into people's minds. I looked up the word "exalts itself," and it could be translated just "exalts," "exalted," "lift up," "hoisted up," "raise up." And then "high thing," I looked up that in the original language, and it can mean an elevated thing or elevated place. Elevated place. So we could say in verse 5, "Cast down arguments and every high thing," or high place. High place that exalts itself like an idol against the knowledge of God. Now, that's interesting when you look at it that way, because if you go back to the Old Testament, the term "high places" is mentioned 117 times. And it's talking about places of idol worship. So here again, this scripture exalts itself above God. Anything that exalts itself above God is an idol. And so he talks about these high things or high places. It could also be translated high places. And the Old Testament was written as a warning for you and I. And a lot of the natural things that we see, a lot of things that we see in the physical, described in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, are actually illustrations of things that take place or that we deal with today in the Spirit. So they had these places that were built. And at that place, that's where they would worship their various different gods, these different idols. And so here today, he's telling us we might not go out and build these physical altars, but yet we can have such places in our mind. In our mind. And they're very real. They're very real. They're just as real as these physical structures that people built to worship their idols. These things that are in people's minds, just as real. And they have to be taken just as serious because God sees these things. And we care about what God sees. You know, the psalmist talked about how he wanted his meditation to be acceptable in the sight of God. I want my meditation to be acceptable. The things that I meditate on, the things that I think on, I want that to be pleasing to God. Not just the words I speak and my actions in the natural. I want my thought life to be pleasing to Him. And we can have a thought life that is pleasing to God. We don't have to allow idols to be in our mind. Now, the Jews were commanded to tear down these high places before going into the promised land. There were a people in the land that God was taking the children of Israel that were idol worshipers, and they had all kinds of high places all over. And so God was telling them ahead of time, he said, now when you go into the land, you got to tear down these high places. Here in the New Testament, he says, casting down high places. Same thing. Tear down these high places. In Numbers chapter 33, in verse 50, it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. So this is right before, you know, they're getting ready to go into the promised land that God had for them, right across the Jordan River. And God speaks to him, saying, verse 51, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. I've given you the land to possess. You know, God's got things for you to possess. But in order for us to possess God's best for our lives, we got to do what he says. We got to make sure that we demolish, cast down high places. Cast down these places of idol worship. And actually, in my margin here, where it says high places, it says places of pagan worship. So we got to go in and we got to clear out the pagan worship. We got to go in and clear. Go in where? Go into our thought life. Because that's where it is for you and I in the New Testament. As believers, as born again believers, it's in our thought life. It's not just out here in the land that we live in. It's in us. And that's what the New Testament deals with. It deals with more of what's going on in us than what's going on around us. Under the old covenant, the children of Israel, they weren't born again. They didn't have the nature of God. And so God was working with them to clean up the environment around them. That was as far as he could really go until Jesus would come. and give us a new heart. Make us new creations. Clean up our spirit man. And that's now what he has come and done. So now the focus is on the inside life. And if we got it right on the inside, oh man, things are going to turn out okay on the outside. So that's even greater. If we can get the inside straightened up, that's even greater than just cutting your lawn and getting some idol worship thing out of there. If you can get idolatry out of you, not just off your property, but out of you, now that's a liberating life, right? That's a life of freedom. That's a life of victory. Because there's a lot of people, they could have it all cleaned up around them, but that doesn't mean they're all clean on the inside. And that was one of the things that Jesus was dealing with when he was dealing with the religious people of his day. He said, outside, you guys look great. You know, you got these nice robes. People call you rabbi. You seem spiritual. You fast. You tithe. You spend a lot of time at the temple. You bring your sacrifices. He said, but you're full of dead men's bones. You're full of everything that's corrupt and evil, even though outwardly you look so beautiful. Well, what good is that? What good is that? Just look good on the outside. I mean, that might just impress men, but what is that? Impressing people? That doesn't impress me. Impressing God? Yes. Now that's impressive. To live a life that's pleasing to him, and he doesn't just look on the outside, he looks on the heart. He looks at what's going on the inside, in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, in your body. God's concerned about all those things. So we want to get all cleaned up on the inside. Now, he's given us a new spirit, but it's up to us to renew our mind with the knowledge of God, wash our mind with the word of God, and keep defiling, idolatrous thoughts out. Now, that's our job. I said, that's our job. Praise God. Jesus did the greater, gave us a brand new spirit. Then he gave us his word. Now we've just got to take the word and apply it to our mind and renew it and wash it and clean it and drive out anything that contradicts the knowledge of God. Anything that tries to exalt itself and parade itself above God. We're not going to worship idols. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, in verse 2, he says, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess served their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29, he says, happy are you, O Israel, who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. How many people want the devil to submit to you? Well, you got to tear down their high places. You got to tear down the devil's high places where he's exalted, where he's worshiped. Because you understand, anything that's exalted above the knowledge of God exalts the devil, who's contrary to God. He's behind everything that's contrary to God. So any thought that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God glorifies Satan. It's worship to him. Well, we're not going to worship the devil. We're going to submit to God and resist the devil. And then he's going to flee, because that's what the Bible says, right? Book of James, submit to God. That's number one. Submit to God. Submit your thought life. Submit your mind to the word of God, to the knowledge of God. Resist the devil. Resist those thoughts that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. And the devil will not have an altar to be honored at. But he will flee from you as in terror. Now, that's how I want it, don't you? Keep that devil on the run. Glory be to God. So the promised land in the Old Testament, we know, is a type of a promised life that God has for us under the new covenant. And that promised life is the abundant life Jesus said he came to give us. He said he came to give us life and that more abundantly. But it can't be, this abundant life can't be fully possessed until the high places are removed. Till the high places are removed. Because high places are places dedicated to the devil. That we see in the Old Testament, they're worshiping all these different deities. Well, what they were, they were devils. They were devils. These high places were places of devil worship. People worshiping the devil. Now, they didn't call it the devil, but that's what it was. They were worshiping the devil. And remember what the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give place to the devil. See, we're talking about high places. We're talking about high places. Notice the Bible says don't give place to the devil. See, again, because he's the one that is being honored when we think on his thoughts, when we meditate on things that are contrary to God and godliness and what we know to be right according to the word of God. That's giving place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil in your mind. He says, nor give place. Don't give a high place. We can say that. Don't give a high place to the, don't make a high place for the devil in your mind. Don't lift up, hoist up, raise up thoughts in your mind that are contrary to God. Why? Because you're giving a high place to the devil. Now notice, if we go back to verse 26, in its context, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We got to understand, there's a lot of false deities that would like to get in people's minds. Deities or demons of anger, bitterness, resentment. Friend, these are idols. This is worshiping the devil. When folks are walking around in unforgiveness, and resentment, and bitterness, and jealousy, and have all these kind of things going on the inside. They'll smile at you. They might act nice on the outside. You're such a nice person. But in their thought life, they're jealous, they're envious, they're bitter, they're unforgiving, they're hateful, and they're angry. And a lot of folks have that kind of stuff going on the, friend, those are idols. That's giving place to the devil. I said, that's giving place to the devil. That's what he says right there. Now, there's an anger that's a righteous indignation. Not all anger is sin. But yet there is an anger that is sin. And we need to be able to tell the difference. And understand that when we're walking around with this kind of thing, with anger, resentment, bitterness, we're not honoring God. We're honoring the devil. We're actually worshiping the devil. We're actually being a devil worshiper. I mean, you might as well just put 666 right across your forehead. Change your name to Damien. I'm sorry, that's a flashback. Nor give place to the devil. Did you get that? See, we got to make sure we got no high places of anger, bitterness, resentment, pride, right? Exalting ourselves above other people in our mind. Exalting ourselves in pride. That's an idol. That's idol worship. Lust. Greed. Covetousness. Notice the next verse. He says, nor give place, a high place to the devil. Verse 28. Let him who stole. See, he flows right into this. Let him who stole steal no longer. Who's this written to? It's written to the heathen, right? No, it's written to the church. This is written to Christians. That's kind of a sad thing that he has to write to Christians, don't steal anymore. You know, you would think that would be a give me. You know what I'm saying? You get born again, you're here at church, you love God. Don't steal. Don't steal. Yeah, people do it all the time. It starts with the tithe. Lord says, if you don't tithe, you rob me. Well, that'd be stealing, wouldn't it? Well, if somebody would steal from God, why would they stop at stealing from other people? I mean, if they steal from God, can you trust them with your money? With your finances? No, you can't. And people steal. People take money, take things that don't belong to them, then they justify it. They justify it in their minds. They're worshiping idols. They're blowing incense to the devil by being a thief and stealing. He says, don't do that anymore, but rather let him who labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give. Give who has need. Be a giver. Be a giver. We should have a generous mind. Our thoughts should be that of generosity. We shouldn't be thinking stingy, covetous, greedy thoughts. All those kind of thoughts, it's idol worship. So we have to do what to it? Cast it down. Demolish it. I love what he said. Demolish it. Man, you wouldn't demolish something that you are, I mean, you're like upset about it. You're angry. You hate it. You hate it. You know, that's when we really do deal with things that aren't right, is when we hate them. And when you understand that these things are not just things, but they are demonic. They're demonically inspired, that people are dealing with demons. I don't like demons. I really have issues when it comes to the devil. I really don't like the devil, and I'm not going to let the devil have a high place in my mind. I'm not going to allow him to hold high carnival in my mind, have himself a party in my mind. Could you imagine that? Here we are at church, worshiping Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, in this part of his house. And yet on the inside, there's pentagrams, incense, and candles being burned to the devil because of our thought life. Man, it's got to get you mad to think that the devil would have that kind of place in a person's life. Where we'd actually be devil worshiping. Well, it's just a thought. And people don't take it serious. They're very casual about it. God's not casual about it. God's word is not casual about it. We got to be very intense about it. It's warfare. This is war. This is war. And it's a war we win if we fight. But you got to be into fighting. If you're not into fighting, then you're not a warrior. You're a wimp. God's looking for warriors. I want to be a warrior, not a wimp. I want to charge into the battle. I want to deal with these things. I want to cast these things down and get the victory over these things. I'm not just going, well, you know, there's just nothing to do about it. God understands, you know, we're just old sinners, you know. I mean, at least we're forgiven. We're not perfect. That is not a warrior. A warrior doesn't talk like that. A warrior wars. Wages war. With the word. Against the enemy, against his thoughts. And he casts them down and he seeks to demolish him, seeks to destroy him. Praise God. Verse 29, he goes right on. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know, if it's in your thought life, it's going to leak out. It's going to leak out. It's going to leak out in what you say. And in how you act. These things leak out. And eventually, they'll take you over. Eventually, they'll destroy your life if you don't destroy them. If you don't destroy demonic thoughts, they'll eventually destroy you. You will end up being the sacrifice on the altar of the high place of your mind. Your life will be sacrificed on the high place, the high places of your mind, if you don't deal with it. So we got to deal with it. Just burn the whole thing down, man. Burn the devil and everybody on it and destroy it. Romans chapter 12. Verse 16 says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Got to watch about opinions. Opinions. Just believing in what you think and how you feel rather than putting it up against the Word of God. See, a lot of folks don't realize that their opinions is demonic. They don't realize it's antichrist. In other words, it's against the knowledge of God. Because they're not bringing their thoughts into captivity to the Word. They're not putting it up against the Word of God. They're not saying, well, how does God feel about this? What does God say about this? What does God think about this? See, that's how we should be. How's God thinking when it comes to these things? What does God say about this? A lot of times people just settle for their opinions. And many times their opinions are not consistent with the Scriptures, which means not consistent with God. And if it's not with God, then it's against God. So it's a thought that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And people don't even know it. They're just ignorant. But we have no excuse to be ignorant when we have the Word of God. We've been born again, been given the Bible, no excuse for ignorance. So we have to watch out for opinions. Got to watch out for our opinions. So he says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Now, setting your mind on high things makes you high-minded. Well, if you come over to Romans chapter 11, and I'm going to read this from the King James, the original King James, Romans 11:20, it says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. So notice, not fearing God is being high-minded. Not walking around in the fear of God is being high-minded. It's setting your mind on high things. What do you mean? Things that exalt themselves above God, which is idol worship, which is giving place to the devil. And we're not to give any place to the devil. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Now that is a powerful verse of Scripture. Because a lot of folks do not behold both the goodness and severity of God. A lot of folks today will emphasize, talk about the goodness of God and act like there is no more severity of God. That went out with the Old Testament. But we're reading from the New Testament. God is still severe today. And writing to Christians, he says, do not be high-minded. And yes, other translations say, do not be haughty. Do not be haughty. Do not be prideful in your thought life. But be humble. But fear. Fear God. Fear God, Christian, and recognize that, you know, if God didn't spare the natural branches, which was Israel, he may not spare you either. You might end up getting cut off. If you don't continue in faith, you might get cut off. And now it's New Testament, right? No, that cut off stuff and severity stuff, that went out with the law. The law never went out, it went in. Now it's written on our hearts. See, he's taken out the stony heart and he's given us a new heart and he's written his commandments on our heart. God's nature, God's commandments, God's thoughts, God's life is now on the inside of us. So it didn't go out, it went in. We're one with the law now. We're one with the Word now. We're one with God now. And he's a good God, and he's a severe God. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of judgment. And when you understand that, you fear God. You respect him. You honor him. And you don't just play games with God and think you can just think however you want to think, live how you want to live, and say, well, bless God, I answered an altar call 25 years ago. And once saved, always saved. Well, watch, you might get cut off with that attitude. That's what he said here. See what I'm saying? So he's saying, fear God. Fear God. You don't walk like that. Now, I'm not expecting to get cut off. I don't expect anyone in this room to get cut off. But yet we walk in the fear of God. We don't walk around casual like we can just do whatever we want, think however we want, act however we want, and it's okay because now we've been born again. And once saved, always saved. There's no fear of God there. That's idol worship. That is doctrines of demons. People have doctrines of demons in the mind. There's a lot of folks full of doctrines of demons. Demons in there, and they're dressed very nice, these demons. They got robes, and it's a beautiful altar in there, and it's all going on in people's minds. And it's satanic. Is this okay? It's getting so quiet, you can almost cut it. Is this okay? Happy are you, O Israel. Happy are you. Praise God. These things will make you happy. You know what I'm saying? You start killing a few high places, you know? You start going, hey, I feel pretty good. My thought life is better, and now I'm better. Happy. Happy. God's got happiness for us. He's got a happy life for us. But he'll cut you off, too, if you want to worship the devil. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6. You always got to keep things in balance. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to read again from the King James, the original King James. Verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Notice that. He says, don't be high-minded. Don't give place to the devil. Don't have high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And here he mentions one of them, riches, material possessions. People work for a living rather than work for the Lord. We're supposed to be working for the Lord, not working for a living, because the Lord is our life. We don't go to work for money. We go to work to serve. We're not hirelings just looking for a paycheck. Thank God we get a paycheck. But we don't work for a paycheck. We work for the Lord. We serve people. That's what we do. And in that, we increase and we prosper. Amen. We get paid. And that's a good thing. But we're not working for the money. It's not all about just because you get paid, just you get rewarded for your labors. That doesn't mean that's what you're working for. See, that's how the world thinks. That's not how you and I think anymore. Right? We labor for the Lord. We're not working for riches. We're not working for money. God supplies all my needs, not I supply all my needs, according to my overtime hours. Okay, well, you can have that, you idol worshiper, but God's got something a whole lot better if you worship him. If you worship him instead of money. He said you can't serve two masters. And he was talking about money when he said that. You can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one, despise the other, or love the other and despise the one. But you can't serve them both. I'm serving him. How about you? All right, so we're not. God gives us all things freely to enjoy. I worked hard for the money. I worked hard for it, honey. Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad you worked hard for it. Praise God. I rested and God provided. I labored in love, worked for the Lord, and money cometh. Money cometh. Why do you say money cometh? Yeah, because it's added unto me. See, these things are added unto me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things are added. Isn't that right? All right. So he says in verse 18, he says, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, willing to share. Again, be a giver. Share. Don't be stingy. I'm telling you, there's a lot of high places in people's minds when it comes to money, when it comes to material things. And people don't want to give it, and they don't want to share it. But when it's the Lord's, you got no problem giving it and sharing it. But if you have a problem giving it and sharing it, it's because you have idolatrous thinking. And you don't want to have idolatrous thinking. That's bondage. I said that's bondage. You don't want to live in bondage to the devil, do you? If you do, he'll make you a sacrifice on the altar of the high place that you've put in your mind. That's how it'll turn out in the end. Now, we see that actually with a man by the name of Saul, King Saul. King Saul started out as a very humble man. But then over time, he got lifted up in pride. And he began to exalt himself above God. He began to have thoughts that exalted themselves above the knowledge of God. God told him to do things and he disobeyed God. He had better thoughts. He had better ideas. He became very disobedient, and God ended up regretting that he put him in position as king. In fact, the prophet Samuel came to him and said, "When you were little, in your own eyes, did I not make you head of the tribes of Israel?" When you were little, you're not little anymore. Now you're high-minded. And so now God couldn't use him anymore. And if you look over at 1 Chronicles chapter 10, why don't we just do it really quick? 1 Chronicles chapter 10. I just found this interesting. Again, these things are written as warnings to you and I. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. So we can learn from them and be blessed, not cursed, right? Have the full blessing of God. Have that full abundant life. I want to walk in the fullness of the abundant life Jesus came to give me. I don't want to just walk in a little bit of it. Share 90% of it with the Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and all kinds of demons. I mean, think about that. And this is how a lot of people live. They got Jebusites, Hebusites, and Canaanites, Perizzites. They got all these Philistines, all these things going on in their mind. They got all these demons running around in the promised land of their life, in their mind. And so they got God's blessing, but they're only enjoying like 10% of it because they got all this strife and envy and all this covetousness and all these idols and all these things going on in other places of their mind. The demons are just holding high carnival in their head. And that's not a happy life. No, we got to drive them out. Drive them out. Just by knowing the truth tonight, man, I'm telling you. If you're taking hold of it, shoom, shoom, I'm helping you. By the Spirit of God, man, things are getting cut out. Wow, wow. Altars are coming down. They're getting smashed. They're getting destroyed. And here in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and in verse 8, it says, "So it happened the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gibeah. And they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the temple of their gods and fastened his head." Everybody say his head. We're talking about your thought life. We're talking about what's going on in your head. Saul had some things go wrong in his head, in his thought life. He had some high-minded thinking. And in the end, his head was cut off and put in the temple of Dagon, their god, their idol. He became the sacrifice on the high place, high places of his mind. It all played out in the natural, and his idolatrous thinking killed him. And I don't think it's a coincidence that there he is, slain in the temple of foreign gods, of demons, because of his thought life. It all started with his thought life. And then King David lamented with this song over in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. He said, "The beauty of Israel," talking about Saul, "is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen." There we see the end of Saul, sacrificed, slain on the high places. And we'll be slain on the high places of our mind if we let demonic thoughts remain. We need to cast them down. I said we need to cast down. We need to fully destroy the work of the devil. Can you say amen? That's what he says in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 30. He said, I'll destroy your high place. If you don't do it, I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. Think about that. God abhors idolatry. Should he? Should he? Is it right that he abhors idolatry? Yes. And if we don't cast down the high places, we'll end up being slain as a result of those high places. We'll become the sacrifice on those high places. Now, King David became the second king of Israel. Saul failed, became an idolater. Then there was King David. And King David was a great king. He loved God, served God with all his heart, soul, mind. And as a result, he prospered and the kingdom increased. But then after him, his son Solomon became king. And that's when things began to go down the hill for Israel as they went up to the high places. You know, things will go down for you in life if you go up to the high places. Don't go up to the high places so the things won't go down for you. Downhill, downhill. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, it says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Sounds like a bunch of us, doesn't it? Sounds like us. Loving the Lord, walking in his statutes. Except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. He had some stuff going on that was not acceptable to the Lord. He loved the Lord and walked in his statutes, except he had some high places, which we know are places in the mind, places given to the devil. As a result of this, King Solomon, he went on to be great because of his love for the Lord, but eventually, because he never dealt with the high places, we find him building, towards the end of his life, building all kinds of high places for the foreign wives that he had married. He had all kinds of foreign wives who loved to worship all different kinds of wild and crazy idols. And so he starts building them altars. And he became an idolater. Well, what happened after him? Well, king after king came to power, and most of them weren't very good. But there were a few that were good. Like, for instance, Jehoash, 2 Kings chapter 12. And in verse 2, it says, Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. He had a very close relationship with this priest. This priest actually helped him become king, saved his life. Very God-fearing man. And so he was a God-fearing man himself all the days that the priest was alive. Verse 3, but the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. What was the result then? He ended up becoming an idolater, and his behavior went from godly to complete ungodliness. I mean, he's totally backslidden and really a wicked guy by the end of his life. But that's not how he started out. But he didn't deal with the high places, so the high places dealt with him. He didn't deal with the devil, and thus the devil took him over, took charge of his life completely. See, if we don't take charge of the devil in our mind, then the devil's going to take charge of our mind and our whole life. And we can't allow that to happen. We see another example of that with Amaziah, another king of Israel. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 3, it says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet not like his father David, he did everything as his father Joash had done. However, the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. So he also ends a very, very dishonorable and ungodly king. And yet, he starts out doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. I'm telling you, people start out, they're doing great. They love the Lord. They're following God. They're obeying God. I mean, they're zealous. But they don't deal with these high places in their mind. They allow these things to remain. They're thus giving place to the devil. And before you know it, next thing you know, they're completely backslidden. They're doing things you never thought in the world they'd be doing. They're totally away from God. So he ended up failing. And then Azariah, 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord." Now, of course, I'm jumping over some kings that were absolutely bad. But these were the good ones. They did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done, except that the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. So guess how it ended for Azariah? Same as the rest of them. And then there's Jotham. 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 34, it says, "And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done." However, isn't that terrible? I don't want any howevers next to my name. Do you want a however next to your name? "And Stephen Frazier, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He was loved the Lord. He built this and did this. And he had this great ministry and all these people were saved. But however." And then it ended not so glorious. And then we got to stand before the Lord. I don't want that. Do you want that? See, we got to understand these things. See, people don't understand these things, so they just allow stuff to go on, go on. "Oh, I'm great. I'm good. I'm good." Okay, well, you know, we got to make sure we stay good. We don't want to get cut off from his grace, from his goodness. We don't want to cut ourselves off by allowing wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. And you know, wrong thinking many times can be detected by, you know, our attitude, by how we talk, how we act. I mean, where's the joy? You know, some people just, it's very easy. If there's no joy, we got a problem. They still don't got that one. If they're anxious and worried, they don't have peace, we've got a problem. See, that has to be dealt with immediately. We don't go to bed angry. We don't go to bed anxious. We deal with these things. We get on our face. We seek God. We deal with these things. We take it very serious. A lot of people, they just let it go, let it go, let it go. Next thing you go, see, if you let it go, then eventually you'll go. And nobody will know where you are anymore. You'll be out doing your own thing, serving your idols. They just got bigger and bigger, more in number. It just spreads. Demons spread. Demons are contagious. You got to cut them off. They're infectious. You got to cut off the devil. Don't let the devil get in there. He'll spread. Where was I? Jotham? He did what was right. However, the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed to burn incense to the high on the high places. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord, though. Praise God for that. So he built the upper gate. That's a beautiful, everybody saw that, of the house of the Lord. Built the house of the Lord gate. But he also kept the high places built and intact. And then there's Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 18. What about Hezekiah? Verse 3. "And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done." He removed the high places. Can somebody give a shout or applause or something? He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burnt incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Remember the serpent on the pole that Moses was instructed to lift up and threw it? You know, people locked in their faith and were healed from the serpent bites. Man, the idolaters got their hands on that and they begin to think this was used of God. God healed people with this new theathon ten, this serpent on the pole. And so they began to worship it, burned incense to it. Now, this has been going on for centuries. We're talking about idolatry that's been going on for centuries. I mean, people have been doing this generation after generation. It's been the tradition to live this way. So for this man to come along and say, we're not doing this anymore. This is not something simple. This takes some serious determination. That other kings, they didn't mess with it. They wanted to live for God and everything else, but there were certain things they just were not going to deal with because people, they loved their high places. So I'll do this and I'll do this, but I'm not touching their high places. These people will revolt. But Hezekiah said, these high places are going. And he destroyed them. He destroyed them. And as a result, verse 7 says, the Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good conclusion right there. The Lord was with him, and he prospered wherever he went. He became more and more wealthy. He became more and more famous, the Bible tells us. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Why was the Lord with him? Because he was with the Lord. Even in his thought life, even in the area of his imagination, he was with the Lord. So he destroyed centuries of tradition. These strongholds, these high places that people worship God. There's things people call hereditary curses. It's a hereditary curse that happened to my grandfather. I'm not just talking about health things. I'm talking about even character things. People talk about hereditary curses. It's hereditary thinking. It's hereditary idol worship. See? Sexual immorality runs in this family. My grandfather, my father, this one. And people think it has to keep going, you know. It's like it's a hereditary curse. It's hereditary thinking. You don't have to think the way your forefathers thought. You can get your mind renewed to the Word of God. Are you listening to me? A lot of people see the behavior, the drug addiction, the alcohol, the abuse, it was in my own, and then I got married to it. It was like, you know, I got married to what I was trying to run from that my dad was doing. And why do people do these things? Thinking, hereditary thinking. They got thinking that goes a certain way. You could change your mind. I said, you could change your mind. You got the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to change your mind. Don't act like you're a victim to some kind of curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for you so you can be blessed. Glory be to God. If it's a curse, it don't run in my family. It runs away from my family. Oh, what does it run in the family? It runs away from my family, doctor. Well, after Hezekiah, and he, you know, came and removed all these high places, did this beautiful work. Manasseh becomes king, and he's a great guy. Let's look at him over at 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. So you know already we got problems. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab king of Israel had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said in Jerusalem, I'll put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. That's interesting. The house of the Lord, so I'm at the temple that was at Jerusalem, which is only a type of the temple that we have today, which is us. And that temple, under the old covenant, had three compartments. There was the outer court, the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies, which is a type of you and I, spirit, soul, and body. Well, two courts were filled with high places, places of idol worship, full of idols. Full of it was given over to demons. Think about that. So person can be saved in their spirit and yet be full of demons in their thought life, full of demons in their body, in the other two courts of the house of the Lord. See, this is all the time. Verse 6, also he made his sons pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image, talking about the imagination. He set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they paid no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. So he seduced them. There's a lot of seducing thoughts that come to people's minds, even to Christians. But thank God you and I could stand against them. Just recognize this is a demonic thought. Do not accept it. Cast it down. Cast it down. Can you say amen? Praise God. Well, thank God Manasseh died. He was there long enough, 55 years. And then his son, Amon, became king. He only lived a couple years, was assassinated. And then there was Josiah, who was the last righteous, godly king of Israel. Do you want to take just an extra minute? 2 Kings chapter 23. I really like Josiah. It's my favorite part of this message tonight. It says in verse 3, the king, verse 23, then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took their stand for the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that are made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem. And those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. Notice, he removed the idolatrous priests. Friend, you're going to have to remove yourself from idolatrous people. Because if you hang out with idolatrous people and call them your friend, then you got yourself some idolatrous priests that are going to help you worship demons. Verse 6, and he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord. He's cleaning house, folks. He brought it out from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people who had worshipped these idols. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden image. What a bunch of sweet ladies. You know they were sweet ladies. Verse 12, the altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down and pulverized there and threw their dust into the brook Kidron. Does he sound intense about getting rid of the high priest, casting down imaginations and every high thing, every high place that exalts itself above the knowledge of God? He pulverized it. He pulverized. Then the king defile the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, and the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. Does anybody get excited when they read these kind of things? Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place. Everybody say the high place. Which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made. Both that altar and the high place he broke down. No other king dared to touch that one. He broke it down and he burned the high place and crushed it to powder and burned the wooden image. I don't know. He just sounds like my kind of guy. That's why I like reading about him. Verse 19. Then Josiah also took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. Say it with me. Say high places. High things provoke the Lord to anger. And he did to them according to all the deeds he had done in Bethel. He executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them. And he returned to Jerusalem. He cleaned house. See, if we're going to get rid of the high places, you're going to have to get like Josiah. You're going to have to get hot about it. You're going to have to get intense about it. And this is where it started. He got a hold of the book of the law, which was lost. People hadn't read it. But he had them clean the house of God, and someone found it, read it to him when he heard the words of the book. When he heard the knowledge of God, he saw all the things that had been exalted above it. And he became irate. He became full of passion. And he went out and he pulverized. He destroyed. He annihilated every high thing that had been exalted itself above the knowledge of God. Oh, hallelujah. Can it be done? Yes, it can. We can do it. We can rise up and take possession of our thought life and make it a pure, holy place. Just like the Holy of Holies in our spirit, our soul and our minds can be holy and clean. And yes, things will try to come and seduce. Thoughts will try to come to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. But bless God, we get irate about it. We get passionate about destroying those thoughts, casting them down and driving them out. We get violent about it. I said we get violent about it. We don't just sit there and think, well, you know, we deal with it. With a heavy hand. Can you say amen? Amen. Why do we do that? Because we're going to possess the land. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand on your feet with me tonight. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.